Starting last week, we started speaking about, a bit about faith, and so this month we're going to speak about faith because this is really where life starts. It's where our year should start, just putting our faith, putting our trust in God. And so it's been an interesting first two Sundays for me. Last week my ears were not really with me. This week I was in bed. My body was frail, but the spirit feels as good as ever. It's been a great holiday. I really got into the Word, really got into spending some time with God, and it's been awesome. It's been I'm psyched for this year. I hope you are. If you're not, maybe after this morning, I'm trusting you'll be psyched for the year. Because you need to have a bit of a confidence for tackling the challenges of life. And especially this first part of the year is critical. Because as you would probably know, when life gets happening, it sort of overwhelms you. You get so busy that you don't have time to think or to plan. That's usually what happens middle of the year sometime. Third term, second term, end of first term. It just suddenly, you can't remember a rest season. And that's why this first month is critical. You need to evaluate your life. You need to sit down, meditate, think about what are your values, what's important for you, what are you going to focus on this year? Because if you don't do it now, I'm going to say, hey, 2012, here we go. And it just went by. You just missed it. Because you weren't planning. You weren't focused. Okay, so I want to encourage you, take this month, plan. Take this month, get quiet. Take this month and really sit at the feet of God. And make sure you get your life focused for the year. Otherwise, life will run away with you. Okay, so that's just a bit of a reminder. And so what is the goal for the year? Last week I spoke about that. The goal is faith. The goal is I want to trust God with every aspect of my life this year. Because faith is where life happens. Faith is where you have peace, where you have joy, where life doesn't overwhelm you, but you overwhelm life. Because you're connected to God. There are a few times in my life that I feel like a real Christian. Only a few. And that's when I take a step of faith. And I trust in God. A few times in my life I feel like a real Christian when I do something really stupid. From the world's perspective, but from a biblical perspective, it's the right thing to do. Then I say, this is so wonderful to be weird. To stand out. To be different. Do you want to live life? I'm sure you want to. Amen. We want to. But it's a decision of faith. If you don't have faith, if your faith isn't authentic, I'm not just saying, I believe in Jesus. I'm talking about real faith that manifests in your life. Then life happens. Then life is an adventure. Then life is exciting. It's like those two boys jumping off there. I mean, we all remember those times, and then we get old, except for some of us like Quibus that dives into dams and injures himself. He did that, but he dove into a bush, sort of. But I like that. That is exciting. That's wonderful. That's life is happening. But when we stop taking those leaps of faith, then we're missing life. Can I have an amen? Amen. And I would, another goal for the year, I would like some interaction from your side. That's the only problem I think I have with white South Africans. We are very conservative. We need more black people here. We must get the teenagers here again. Those guys from Selborne and other schools, then they just want to, what's wrong? I always thought, what's wrong with these people? I just want to shout. And everybody's like, inside, it's like, high five. No, man. We need to live. And faith is where life happens. So let's be real Christians. And let's take a few leaps of faith this year. Let's put that out as our goal. I want to live. So why is faith so important? I shared this last week. 1 Peter 1 speaks of this. Just quick recap. Last week, this is very important. Why is faith so critical? The scripture says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Do you know that life brings trials? Absolutely. Life brings challenges. But it says here that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. That's brilliant for me. When I read this, when I clicked this, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about money. Because he changed his way of thinking. He's always been a faithful tither, a faithful giver to the church, and now he's changed his mind. And so we were talking about this, and how it works with me and my friends. If you've got a real friend, you can speak straight. So we were speaking straight about this thing. I was challenging him. And in the end, it came down to this issue. It wasn't about the money. It was about his faith. He was lacking faith, and so he wasn't giving as he would have wanted to. You see, giving is stupid from a world's perspective. But from a biblical perspective, it's authentic faith. Real faith and finances, it sort of works together there. Anyway, so I was speaking to him, and then in the days after that, I was meditating, thinking, what can I say to him? Because he was going on about these different things about money and so forth, and you have to save, and yes, you have to save. But then I read this, and it told me that the real faith is more valuable than gold. Than much gold. Real faith is more valuable. But that's not how we live. We focus on the money. We focus on stuff. We focus on control. We focus on all the different aspects of our lives. But we don't focus on this one thing, faith. Faith is more valuable. Faith is more valuable than gold. And that's why I'm telling myself, I'd rather be poor and have lots of faith and be able to trust God in every aspect of my life. And I have lots of money, but my faith is in my money. My faith is in my stuff. Because I'm not living real life. I'm not connecting with God. A rich man is a man of faith. A rich woman is a woman of faith. A woman of faith. That's rich. But unfortunately, a man or a woman without faith is a dead man. Dead woman. You're dead spiritually, and you're disconnected from God because you cannot trust Him. And that's a legitimate challenge for many people. Some of us really struggle to trust. I think all of us go through times that we are really challenged to not trust in God. And so I'm going to share this morning with you a few killers of faith. Three things that kills your faith and in the end kills your life. But if we overcome these things, then real life happens. So I'm excited about this year. I want to get out of my comfort zone. I want to trust the Lord. I want to be silly from a world's perspective and just trust Him. I want to encourage you to do the same. Now, there are different kinds of faith, and you might be at different levels of your life. For me, you know, when you come and you start a church, it's not about just maintaining something. It's about God. You've destined us as a church to reach this town and to reach the Eastern Cape. So that's sort of a challenge for me sometimes. I'm thinking, God, how? I'm going to get to that in a moment. That's one of the killers of your faith, trying to figure out how. Killer number one is trying to figure out God, but how? And I've been analyzing this. I've been thinking about this over and over, and I realized this is my greatest killer. I know God has said this is what we're destined to do, this is what we have to do, and this is what we're going to do. But I can't figure out how God's going to bring it together. And so I'm analyzing. And especially us intellectuals, you know, we like to understand everything. But you can't understand everything. It will kill your faith if you try to understand before you simply just step out and allow God to do what He wants to do. So for some of us, like say for my wife, it's interesting. I'm thinking Eastern Cape, East London, and then my wife is thinking, she's overwhelmed with Vian, our two-year-old. He needs to get potty trained. He needs to get off his bottle, off the dummy, and he needs to get a better sleep routine. And she's saying, I'm overwhelmed. I need God. Now, if you want to get to your knees, get a child. Leave us guys alone with a baby, we're dead, okay? So I have respect for that faith challenge. But so we're all at different levels. We're all different things that we're trusting God for. But are we going to allow something to kill our faith? Now, this is the one thing there. God, but how? How are you going to do this? Last week I shared about this leap of faith. If my boy is standing on the table and he's suddenly afraid because of the height, and I'm telling him as his dad, my son, jump. Now he's analyzing. Can he trust me? Is this going to work? And then he'll do this knee bending fall jump, and I'll catch him and he'll smile, and life has just happened. He had to trust me, and he had a vote of confidence in who I am. So as a dad, I'm feeling, wow, my boy trusted me. Relationship has just happened. And the same with God. When we trust God, when we take the leap of faith, relationship happens. But now, when it comes to a normal jump, you can do a few calculations. You can say, okay, weight, height, distance, strength of person catching, trustworthiness of person catching. So it all works together. And then this challenging thing about faith in God is that you can't see Him. So you're going to jump, but you can't see Him. Hello? So you're doing your calculations, and it's just bombing out the whole time. I can't see how this is going to work. There's nobody there. And the scriptures often speaks about this. 1 Peter 1 verse 8, just the next one. When it comes to the things of faith, it is more challenging because you can't see. But the scripture says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So in spite of the trials, despite of the challenges, despite having to take a leap of faith into the arms of one you cannot see, you rejoice. Because you've got different eyes, eyes of the heart, eyes of real faith. And these eyes are more trustworthy than these eyes. Eyes of faith are more trustworthy than your physical eyes when your faith is put in the right one. Joy inexpressible. God, but how? Don't ask that. Well, you could probably ask that, but still step out. Sometimes God will give answers, but most of the time He doesn't. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And this is sort of the theme scripture for the morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you say all? All. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Ah, there it comes out. The how. But God, how? Lord, I want, how's this going to work, God? Why? Because you want to lean on your own understanding. You want to figure it out. You want to figure it out. Then so you're leaning on your understanding and you take a shotgun and you shoot your faith right there. Because the calculations are not working and you're bombing out your brain. And you're bombing out your brain. You're thinking through, no, just I can't see. I can't see how this is going to work. God, but how? But that scripture says no half measures, all your heart. That's when the adventure starts. That's when the leaps of faith begin. And so often we can say, it's impossible. Can't be, can't work, no way. Yes way. Yes way. Because God way. God is able. The how is in His hands. It's His speciality. It's His specialty. The how is in His hands. It's His specialty. You can go through the scriptures over and over again. This is God's specialty. He sort of makes things work, but we don't know how. I'm going to give you a few examples now. But we struggle to understand. No, just you focus on what God has told you to do. You do that and you leave the how unto Him. You leave the how unto Him. There are so many things that we do not understand. For instance, Ecclesiastes 11 verses 5 and 6 speaks of this. It says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. Anybody know how the bones grow? We don't. We are cooking clueless, but we like to say we know. We like to tell the world, the scientists like to tell everyone, we know. We know nothing. We don't know how that works. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. The works of God who makes everything. God somehow made the whole universe. Millions of galaxies, billions of stars, maybe trillions. Try and figure it out. Not going to work. The ant, God made that. Bacteria, mouse, lion, tree, grass, ecosystem, planet, atmosphere. How? I don't know. But He sort of worked it out. When He said, let there be light, and there were a million stars. Simple for Him. But when you and I try and figure out how, it bombs out our minds and it bombs out our faith. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. He made everything. We serve a big God. Sometimes I have just to remind myself back, creation. Wow, that's the God I serve. Oh, so He needs to provide for me at the end of this month financially. I think He can do it. He's done it before. He can do it. God works in mysterious ways. He's huge. How does it work? How does a healing work? I don't know. How does the creation of the universe work? I don't know. How does life work? I don't know. But is He a healer? Yes. Is He creator? Yes. Is He the origin of life, the source of life? Yes. Put your trust in who He is. Put your trust in who He is. He is a provider. How? I don't know. He's got a million ways of doing it. But He is God. So don't try and figure it out, but trust. So faith killer number one, God. How? Okay, so don't try and figure that out. Then, faith killer number two. Just do nothing. Imagine this. You're walking in somewhere in the woods, forest somewhere. And suddenly you see a lion. And it isn't Narnia. Not a friendly lion. So this lion comes for you and you run and you come to a cliff. And the only way out is you see these three branches. And you have to jump off the cliff and you have to grab one of the three branches. But which one? Okay, so faith killer number one is don't jump. Just stand and wait for the lion. Okay? How does your faith grow? Your faith grows by taking a leap of faith. Your faith grows by stepping out. Your faith grows by getting out of your comfort zone. Okay? A leap of faith. That lion wants to kill your faith. I'm going to come to those three branches in the next, in the faith killer number three. You see, we, especially in our probably demographic, you would say, it's so easy to trust in our comfort zone. Go live in a shack. You don't have access maybe to medical help or whatever, and you left your own devices. You don't have a job. Now that's challenging. That's out of your comfort zone. But for us, it's so nice to have a bit of money in the bank, have a nice job, maybe have a degree that I can trust on, lean on, still have my degree, or things like my car, my house. Nice, comfortable, controlled environment. I think it's hard for us as people to trust in God because we're not forced to. It's easy to trust for myself and for my own little life. And then I realize, but for me, that's not good enough because I want to reach East London. I want to fulfill the will of God. I want the kingdom to come. I want God to be revealed to the world. I'm not happy with just God being revealed to myself. So I have to step out. So I'm creating myself a discomfort, which is great. Which is how it should be. God has blessed us so that we can be blessings. He's given you all of these things so you have a platform to now launch into following Him. Not so that you can be comfortable. Not so you can just have your little place, high wall, security, and we hide away in our comfort. That's not what God has called us to. He's called us to step out. Take that leap of faith. Put this as a goal for yourself this year. I want to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to do things that will make life uncomfortable because I want my faith to grow. I don't want my faith to be dead. I want to grow. Because God, we've got a world to reach. There's a whole world that doesn't know how awesome you are. And therefore, I need to grow in faith. I need to take that leap of faith. Look at John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus speaking, and he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How's that? Cannot tell, you cannot say, how is this working? The Spirit comes, the Spirit goes. I sometimes ask myself, God, how did this church grow? Because I don't know. And then I sometimes look at people's lives and I'm thinking, God, what happened there? They were a mess, a complete mess. God, how did you transform them? They are changed people. I don't know how this happened. I know, yes, they went to church every Sunday. They went to a small group. Yes, they went to the foundations. They're going to do Bible school. But God, I don't know how your Spirit did it. And I think that's for me sometimes a challenge. You don't try and be the Holy Spirit. Don't try and figure out how. Don't try and have control. Believe. Believe in a God who's the one who transforms lives. Not knowing how something works can keep us from action. Not knowing how something works can keep us from action if we are waiting to understand. For instance, some of you might say, I don't understand why God wants me to be water baptized after I became a believer. I don't understand it. It just doesn't make sense to go swim in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How can that change me? Well, you're probably never going to get baptized because you're waiting to understand a miracle that only God knows. Only when you step out, then you can see, oh, this changed me. This strengthened my faith. This was a blessing. This caused growth. This sealed something in my heart. I'm never going back to the life of unbelief. Water baptism. I want to encourage you. Just do it. Don't hold back. Just do it. Just step out. Do not pursue control. Do not pursue your comfort zone. That is the beginning of the end of your faith. The beginning of the end of your faith is comfort zone. That's why it's good sometimes to get involved in church. It's good sometimes to step out and instead of just receiving where it's safe, actually go and give, pray for somebody, share with somebody. Then you start growing. Then things start happening. Success has a way of weaning us off our dependency upon God. Let me say that again. Success has a way of weaning us off our dependency upon God. It's easy to trust God when you have nothing. It's hard to trust God when all your ducks are in a row. Because you lean to that side. And so then you have to make a decision. I'm going to create discomfort. I'm going to step out. It's easy to go to work and never tell somebody about your faith. Easy to go to school, never tell somebody about your faith. Nice comfort zone. Do you know when you really grow? You try and tell somebody about Jesus. Yay. That's like exponential growth. Because they ask you questions that you don't have answers for. And now you have to go look for those answers. Now you have to search for those answers. Now you have to grow. It's great. Take the leap of faith. Stay in a place where your answer, your cry every day would be, God, if you don't come through for me, I'm sunk. I'm sunk. That's a good place to be. But you have to create that environment. Especially if you have resources in your life. Especially if you are able to make it very comfortable. Now look at Moses. Moses and God. Now imagine this. 400 years of slavery. God hasn't been in sight for 400 years. They've only heard stories. And so Moses, at the back part of a back mountain, God appears to him. And God says this wonderful few words where God speaks to Moses and he says, I have heard and I have come to deliver. Now, for most of us, when God says that, we'll probably do a dance. Yay! I have come. I have heard. I've come to deliver. Yes! Hallelujah! Amen. Yes, Lord. It's going to change. Everything's going to happen. God has spoken. Yes. Can you say yes? Okay, and then the shock comes. Come now. I will send you. What? You must be kidding me. Lord, no. You see, it's so nice. Sit in the corner. We rejoice. Oh, God. Glory's going to fill the earth. And we do our swim moments. It's wonderful. Praise Jesus. It's awesome. And then God surprises us and says, okay, now you. Yes, you. Can you say me? Me. That means you. God comes and he says, okay, now you. Step out. Go. Now God, Let's talk about this. Now, this Moses goes through a long few passages there, chapters, where Moses speaks to God and says, God, now let's think about this. Now, how's this going to work? I'm trying to figure this out now. How? God, how? Now, you've got Pharaoh, biggest empire in the known world at that time. I know, I've been there, massive army. And then you send me. Calculations, it's not working, God. No, God, no. Then God tries, no, but I made you. I gave you your mouth and gave you all the miracles and things. Every time Moses goes through the calculations, he tries to figure out, God, how? And every time it just doesn't work. And at the end, God gets angry at him. Says, no, go, Dexel. Go. If God was speaking Afrikaans, he'd be using Dexel. But can you see that because Moses tried to figure out the how, it almost killed his faith. Unless God actually pushed Moses off the cliff there. And so he took the leap of faith. Because in verse 11, Moses all the time just said, but God, but. You see, every time Moses went through the calculations, and I'm sure he had a vivid imagination, he would find himself bending over forward and and Pharaoh cutting off his head. Chop. Cheers. Dead. God, I'm seeing it. I'm dead. They're going to kill me. No. Moses, I'm sending you. Just do it. Don't try and figure it out. Just do it. Don't try and think all the details. Just do what I tell you. Just be faithful what I've put in your hand. It will work. Because I'm God. And so Moses took the leap of faith, and his faith grew, and a nation was set free. Now, so I want to encourage you. Don't try and figure out the how. Just obey. Faith killer number three, ending off with this. If you embrace the doubts, your faith will be killed. If you embrace doubts, your faith will be killed. So we're back in the forest. The lion is hunting you down. And so you've got to jump. There are three branches. We've got a nice big one. It looks quite sturdy. Not the biblical one, unfortunately. But it really looks good. The doubts are saying, ooh, the third one, the God branch, it looks a little bit choo. Looks a little bit thin there. I don't think it can hold your weight. I don't think it's going to work. I think, go for the big one. Go for the big one. And so, I want to, in a sense, warn you. Doubts will come. Doubts will come. Doubts will come. Guaranteed. We all have our visitations from doubt. But are you going to embrace it? Are you going to embrace the doubt? And we have different forms of doubt. Not believing in God. Or not believing in your calling, not believing in pursuing God, not believing in that this is the marriage that God has given to you, not believing that your business is going to work out, not believing that your children are going to grow up in the Lord and be healthy. We all have different areas of faith. But are you going to listen to the doubts? Or are you going to embrace the truth and say, I'm jumping for the biblical branch? I'm jumping because if the word says so, even if I don't understand why, I'm going to go for it. Because it must work. Because God is faithful. It's who you put your faith in. Even if you take a leap of faith, but it's a miserable, pathetic little leap. But you go for the right branch, the biblical one, the godly one. It doesn't matter if you like Sylvester Stallone, superstar, rock climber, boldly jumping for the wrong branch. going to break off. You're dead. So I want to encourage you, even if you only have a little bit of faith, if you put your faith in God, it's better faith than lots of faith in the wrong stuff. A little bit of faith in the Bible is much better than a lots of faith in the philosophies of this world. So I want to encourage you, doesn't matter how strong that faith is, but allow that faith to grow and take your little leaps of faith. Just hold on to that branch. Go for it. Grow in faith. Make no mistake, the enemy wants to steal your faith. He wants to tell you, you're never going to get healed. You're never going to this, never going to this. It's not going to work. I don't think so. Challenge that lie. Challenge that lie. You are not alone. You are not the only Christian struggling with that in the world, and you're not the only Christian struggling in this church with that thought. Look at this. Ephesians 6, verse 16. It says, above all. Can you say above all? Above all. This is the armor of God. Above all the other weapons that God gives us, the Apostle Paul says, above all. Above all. Taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, the enemy shoots arrows of doubt at our minds, at our hearts. The enemy comes and tells us, nah, sex outside of marriage? Come on. Let me so old school. It's going to be fun. And so you jump for the branch. It breaks off and you kill yourself. You get hurt because you didn't trust that when God says abstinence is a good idea, when you didn't trust Him, it has consequences. So challenge those doubts with the truth. And take your shield of faith. Take your shield of faith and say no. How do you do this? Ephesians 6 verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How do you deal? If you're struggling with doubts, if your mind is being bombarded continuously with lies, how do you deal with it? I have found the best way to deal with it, you take Scripture to God in prayer. And you wrestle it through. You pray it and you pray it again. No, the truth is this. The truth is this. The truth is my God is faithful. My God is with me. Great is He that lives in me, that He is in the world. God has given me all, from His divine power, He has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. He is my God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. I am equipped. You are equipped with everything you need for life and godliness. Now you need to go say that and pray that and declare that until it starts settling in your heart. I tell you this holiday, taking our 2 weeks without distractions and just meditating, soaking in the Word. You don't realize it, but suddenly you have faith. Suddenly when you wake up, I believe we can conquer the world. Why? Because the seed has been planted. The seed of faith, the Word. It's inside. We can conquer the world. I don't know how. That's God's business. But I'm going to be faithful with God has set before me. I'm going to preach. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to love. I'm going to be whatever God has set before me. I'm going to do it. And God will do the rest. Faith killer number 3 is if you embrace the doubts. What happens is you trust in something else, the wrong branch, and you will fall. Don't fall for that. Take up your place in prayer and the Word. This is critical. Life happens and Christianity happens when there is faith in our hearts. If there is no faith, there is no life. If there is no trust in Jesus, I must humbly say, you're trusting in the wrong branch and you will fall. But if you put your trust in Him, it's going to work. It will happen. You will have peace. So let's put this goal before us this year. God, we want to grow in faith. We want to step out, Lord. We want to get out of our comfort zones and we want to grow. I want to grow. But you need to decide now. I want to grow. What am I going to do? I'm going to plan. I'm going to plan my life. I'm going to plan my days. I'm going to plan for those times with the Lord in the morning. I'm going to take our time, some maybe just a whole Saturday, and just seek the face of God. Why? Because I don't have faith, Lord. I'm struggling. I don't have peace. I'm stressed. Why? You're lacking trust. And so you need to put our time at the feet of God and rest and be strengthened and encouraged. I am so excited about this year. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try and figure out how is it going to work. All you need to know is God knows. Imagine Moses and all the Israelites coming to the Red Sea, an army behind them, a sea in front of them. God, what now? No, Moses, you just speak. I've already made a plan. I'm going to lead you through. I've already made a plan. Maybe you're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to do my work this year. I don't know how I'm going to come through these projects. I don't know how. God knows how. But you trust in Him and you just simply do the basics right. Meet with Him. Rest in Him, and then step up. Simple, isn't it? No, but we complicate things. We complicate life. John Huss, he was one of the early reformers. He was burnt at the stake. And just before he died, he shouted out, "Oh, holy simplicity." Three words to remember. Oh, holy simplicity. Let's come back to the simplicity of Christ, where He does the big complicated stuff and we just do the basics right. Love somebody, serve somebody, and meet with an almighty God. So faith killer number one, try and figure out how. Don't do that. Faith killer number two, do nothing. Faith killer number three, embrace doubts. Trust in the wrong stuff. It will kill your faith. So let's come and sit at the feet of God. Let's come and rest in Him. Rest in Him. And allow God to bring the results. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank You. We thank You, God, that we can trust in You. You are the Creator of heaven and earth. You are our provider. You are the healer. You are our Savior. You are the one that brings sense to a very confusing, messed up world. And so, Father, we pray for our hearts this morning that our understanding will be redeemed, that we will simply trust and not lean on our own understanding. Jesus, we exalt You. God, we worship You. You are faithful. You are for us. You have already made plans for this whole year. You've made provision for every need. God, you reign. God, you reign. And we ask that you'll come and reign in our hearts. Just as our eyes are closed, I just want to ask if there's some of us here, you struggle with doubts, or you just feel like an attack upon your mind, an attack upon your thoughts. You're struggling to overcome those thoughts of doubts or whatever thought pattern there may be. If that is you, would you raise your hand as all the eyes are closed? Okay. Anybody else? You can drop your hands. Anybody else? In the areas that you're struggling in your thoughts? God, we worship you. Then another question. If you sit here this morning and you realize I've put my trust in something, someone else, but not in God, not in Jesus Christ, and you want to make a shift this morning to no longer lean on other things or even yourself, but to trust in God. If that is you, you just feel you want to, you have been trusting in other areas, other things, would you raise your hand? Okay. Lord, we worship you. God, we worship you. Okay, let's stand. Can I ask if you raised your hand, there's about 10 people, would you be so bold to come and stand here in the front so that we can pray with you? If you feel comfortable to do that, just come. And if I can just have some people to come and pray with you guys, there's about 10 or so people. Some of the small group leaders can just come. It's just really good to seal some of these areas of our lives with somebody in prayer. God, we worship you. God, we worship you. God, we worship you. Okay, we're going to pray with you in a moment. It's just another area I want us to address. If you realize that you are in a comfort zone and you realize you need to step out and take a leap of faith, I'm not going to call you forward, but I just want you, if you want to say, God, I want to grow in faith this year and I want to step out, I want to take that leap of faith, and I pray that you'd lead me to the place of stepping out and growing in you. Would you maybe just raise your hands to the Lord as I pray? Just raise your hands. If that's you and you want to grow. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. Just declare this after me. Say, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that faith is more precious than lots of gold. And so, Lord, this day, I declare that I want to grow in faith. I don't want to live in a comfort zone. I want to step out. I want to trust you. I want to live for you with my whole heart. I want to live the adventure of real faith in you. And so, God, this day, I commit my heart and my life into your hands. And I say, have your way in me and through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to pray for you quickly. Father, we thank you, God, for the prayers that have been prayed now. We thank you, God, for the hearts of these precious people, Lord. We have people here, God, who are willing, people who want to know you, people who want to live the real Christian life. And so, God, we don't know how, but we know you know. We don't know how, God, we're going to break out of our passivity, God. We don't know how we're going to break out of our doubts and our fears, Lord. But we know you know. And we know you've made provision. And so, Father, have your way in us. Have your way, God, in us. Have your way in this church. Have your way in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can call forth the mighty men of God and the mighty women of God. Men and women of great faith, because we have a great God. A great God. Jesus, we exalt you. We magnify you. Every heart here. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives. Bring us, God, to that place that we rest in you. Bring us, God, to a place that we on our knees come and surrender to you. And where your word comes alive on the inside. And where your spirit is so real to us. God, have your way. Right now, we release seeds of faith into the soil of our hearts. We release seeds of faith into the soil of our hearts. Just where you are now, just say, Lord, I receive the seed of faith. I receive the seed of faith. God, we worship you. And we see that, God, we see the seed being thrown out, God, and planted in our hearts and minds. So, Father, we pray for the people here standing in front, Lord. God, we speak your blessing upon them. We declare, God, that the assignments of the enemy will come to nothing. The doubts and the fears will not reign. And will not rule. We say in the name of Jesus, every doubt will be canceled and neutralized by the truth of the living God. Have your way, God. Come and plant these seeds of faith and let them grow and grow and grow. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Just see those doubts as arrows being shot at you by the enemy. Expose the doubt. Unmask the doubt for what it is. It's just trusting in a lie. It's faith in the wrong thing. Lord, we expose every doubt. We expose every lie. We say, God, let your truth settle. Let your truth settle in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can I just have a few ladies to come and pray here? Griselda, Matty. God, we worship you. Okay, we're going to pray with you now. So I just want you guys to, if there's specific doubts, just to bring them in the light so you can maybe spread out and get a place, get some chairs, and you can sit. And just bring those doubts and things into the light. Diana, can you come in with these ladies and with Roselva, please? You're welcome to take some chairs and sit there if you want to. If there's anybody else that need prayer, you're very welcome to come forward. The band is going to play for us. They're just going to worship God for us. And you're welcome to join with them. If you just want to maybe deal with something in your heart or bring something before the Lord, I encouraged the guys last week to do this. Maybe if you weren't here, maybe you can do that now. Just to pray with the person next to you. If you're married, pray with your spouse or with a friend. And just bring this year before God. Just take some time out. Just think about this year. Just bring this year before the Lord and declare, God, we trust in you. And if you need specific prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Otherwise, yeah, I'm going to give you a few minutes, and then we're going to have some fellowship.